Welcome to the Arlington Street Church podcast. Founded in 1729, Arlington Street continues today as a gathering place for progressive people of faith in the greater Boston area and beyond. We are located at the corner of Arlington and Boylston Streets, across from the Public Garden in Boston, Massachusetts. Please visit ascboston.org for more information about this historic Unitarian Universalist congregation. Arlington Street Church, gathered in love and service for justice and peace.
Our reading this morning is called Before the Angels Appeared by my colleague Bob Janice Dillon. That day, like all days, there was the sound of the creak in the lower corner of the field, the tempo of hooves growing faster with the slope of the hill, the susurrus of wool and flesh, accompanied by the chirp of the songbird and the bleat of the flock itself, insistent and casual. There was the shade in the midst of the sun beating down, the scrub bed carrying on for miles until it met the blue sky in the far distance, and also a valley of grass as soft as the eyes of an old friend. Then the sky darkened in the east and the west as the lambs arranged the world through shuffles and coos, and the mothers hustled to the call. Gradually, over time, a silence crescendoed amongst the flock, the nighttime hush, and there was, as there always is, an expectant sense, a peace. Here ends the reading. We are in the time before the angels appeared, dear ones. So much is amiss in the land. There is war and famine, and unjust rulers prevail. And we wonder, what could a just peace look like? And how long, O Lord, will it take? And every year we return to this strange and marvelous tale, and we sing songs full of glorias and even gloria in excelsis Deo, glory to God in the highest. Right at the moment when even the strongest believers are pulled into doubt, we get stories of angels visiting a poor unwed teenage girl and then visiting shepherds, all of whom are going about their business, thank you very much, before the angels arrive and tell them these wild stories. The angels proclaim glory to God and peace on the earth. A silence crescendos among the flock, an expectant sense, a peace. This season has been a tough one to put faith in some sacred force of peace alive and active in the world. The evidence is stacked so high against it. And as we are praying with whatever means and whatever words we can muster for the suffering we see around us to end, and for the threats of even deeper persecution of the most vulnerable not to come to pass, paradoxically, this season, the season of Advent, is the time to take things slow, to let that silence crescendo, to feel that expectant sense, and even reach for peace. Advent is the time of inward preparation, anticipation, and dreaming. We join in the ancient story of the coming of God in the most simple human form, plain even, to the most common and plain people, the overlooked people whose stories are untold. It's a story of the big changes we yearn for arriving in the closest, smallest, humblest of ways. The poet Lee Young Lee, in a recent talk, described ecstatic poetry as the work of putting the largest ideas into the smallest thing, and then making that smallest thing universally large. He read from a very long poem that he has written about a hummingbird, to make his point. It's called, "Oh Hummingbird, Don't Go." And it begins with these lines. "Oh Hummingbird, why is the universe looking for you? Here you are, the jewel of jewels in the universe's belly button. Here you are, bearing the universe on top of your head, one feather of your iridescent crown. Oh, Hummingbird, why is the Milky Way looking for you? Here you are, the stillest eye at the heart of the Milky Way. And here is the Milky Way, the tear in your eye when you remember home." What if the arrival of peace on Earth lives right in the midst of our noticing a hummingbird, the tear in its eye, the heart of the Milky Way? What if the splendor and glory of God in the highest is just that? The promise of peace on Earth is offered up to us this season in a tiny, helpless infant, like a hummingbird, delicate and powerless. Also like a hummingbird, persistent in the call of new life. So I want to say very simply this morning, as we consider glory and peace, let's not be too busy resigning ourselves to the terrors of the news cycle that we miss the quiet messengers of peace in our everyday lives. Consider these moments of peaceful glories shared by folks at our minister's tea this week. The feeling of laundry fresh from the dryer, warm fabric on our fingertips, the satisfaction of a tidy fold. The joy of communing with sparrows while feeding them each morning. Experiencing the beauty of music that brings peace to the soul. Listening to songs like "The Secret of Life" and "You'll Never Walk Alone." The Mumford & Sons version comes highly recommended, and also the one heard here last Sunday. The ritual of cooking early in the morning in a quiet kitchen, making a familiar recipe that will sustain the household later in the day. The unending wonder of entering the main gates of the Arnold Arboretum, stepping into a magical land from the bustle of the city streets. Taking strolls in the city, taking breaks to watch people in malls and in parks. Walking through the woods to arrive at a pond or reservoir. Bird watching in the remote beauty of Plum Island. And looking up at the starry sky, awash in wonder. All these things experienced among us, micro doses of peace, just this week. As we sang earlier, the peace not past our understanding falls light upon the soft white tablecloth, at winter supper warm between four walls, a thing too simple to be tried as truth. We're not aiming for something so deep and rich in our own grasp as understanding how to make peace in the whole world. But when we make peace in our hearts, we build a strength and a resilience that can help us show up to make that grander peace when the moment arises. Each small moment of peace is a chance to point to that infinite, that irredeemable, in the midst of the finite, small moments that can connect to larger truths, to bigger stories. In this time when the world's woes are overwhelming and our culture presses us to keep all of the holiday commitments, let us make space, not for the shoulds, but for the needs of our souls. The preparations we need to make to imagine the world as it could be, that join our hearts in hope and promise, and help us keep faith with it. If what keeps your imagination fueled and your heart strengthened is reveling in lights and decorating the house and feeling exalted by it all, do that. And if it's giving yourself and others permission not to rush, to take a much-needed rest, to play, to reflect, to laugh with dear friends, do that. Remember also that moments savored in stillness take us to deep, great depth, a different kind of peace, though the world cries out against it. It could, in fact, be that the transformation we await so fervently in our world needs us to slow down, to readjust our internal clocks to sacred time, to envision a world transformed by a depth of living that honors the sacred in each and all, that reminds us that what we really need is each other. So, my friends, let's take it slow. Let's walk in barren woods without a rush. Curl up with a good book, even though there are cards to be written. Play a board game with a loved one when the chores aren't yet done. Take it slow. Imagine those three words spoken in the voice that you would be most likely to obey. A doting grandparent, a goofy aunt or a doddering uncle, a compassionate and loyal friend. Take it slow. When memories of loved ones lost surface in small moments, as you bake a handed-down recipe without its signature chef in the kitchen for the first time, as you pine for the medley of bad jokes from the well-meaning uncle, as you miss the annual letter from the friend you lost too soon, take it slow. Slow with that tender heart, slow with your fond memories, slow as you let the loved ones who are still with you know just a bit of what is stirring in your soul. Slow with your hurts and angers, with disappointments and dismay. Let them have their place too in the lengthening nights. Ask them what they and their uncomfortable truths have to teach you. And with the joys, take it especially slow. With the thrill of new love, the eager anticipation and welcome of a new child, the delight in the well-being of your nearest and dearest, dwell in attention to the many miracles that can make all of life a celebration. All of those gifts meant to be savored and to be shared. Take it slow. The way things are now will not always be so. Our dwelling in peace is not just an escape, it's how we begin to build the reality that is to come. So let us hold on to the imagination of what could be in these long nights. Hold on to the truths that those small moments reveal. And let us kindle the light carefully that it might shine for others to see. Let us take nourishment from the darkness to sustain us as we grow. Let good arrive in us and with us in every form, that we may bring to birth new peace, new truth, and new love in this magnificent and hurting world. Amen. And may we go forth with the words of William Blake to hold infinity, see the world in a grain of sand and heaven in a wild flower, to hold infinity in the palm of your hand and eternity in an hour, to praise the holy in the smallest moments of peace and to see in them a hope for the world to come. Let us keep this faith, dear ones, and pass it on. The service begins when the service ends. Amen.
People are my people.
please visit ascboston.org for more information about this historic Unitarian Universalist congregation. Arlington Street Church, gathered in love and service for justice and peace.